Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 8. Psalm 118 and verse 8. These words of the psalmist: "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." These glorious words, and our subject this morning is your trust in the right place? This is the question before us and raised by this tremendous verse. Now, many of you will know or be aware that the book of Psalms are the middle book in the Bible. 66 books in the Bible, 27 books in the New Testament, 39 in the Old Testament. Slap bang in the middle is the book of Psalms, the middle book of the Bible. And because it's the middle book, it quite naturally contains the middle verse of the Bible in the middle book, which is the Psalms. And lo and behold, this is the middle verse, right in the middle of the Bible. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." So now you know, if anybody asks you out of interest, perhaps they never will, but what is the middle verse in the Bible? It's this one: "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And what a verse it is. What a glorious statement it is. It's so clear to us. It's impossible to misinterpret or to fudge the meaning of it. It is very clear to us. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. This is a wonderful, wonderful truth, and one that we have to take seriously and apply to ourselves. Now, we did touch on this last week. If you recall, we were speaking about if we want to draw near to God, well, we have to come with a trusting spirit. We don't come as people who are full of doubt, skeptical. As soon as we come into a church, oh, anything that pastor says, I'm going to be very doubtful about it, very skeptical. No, we come as children who are far more willing to trust. We come as children to God. That's how we draw near. We come ready and willing to trust in God, to trust in the Word of God and all that He would have to say to us. A trusting spirit. That's how we come to know the Lord. And so I hope that each and every one of you have come here with that desire to trust in what God says to us through His Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Trust these things. But this will be our main subject, and I want to extend the theme of trust here this morning, because, you know, trust is so essential in life. It's so essential. We think of trust, well, normally we apply it, the issue of trust, to our personal relationships, to our nearest and dearest. That is when we think most of trust. But, you know, we have to trust people in every aspect of our lives, in our daily lives, even to the most fundamental and most basic level. You go to work. Well, when you go to work and you work every day, you have to trust that your employers are going to pay you at the end of the month. Of course you have to trust. Yes, there's a contract written up, but you still have to trust they're going to honor that contract. You have to trust every day when you go to work, when you work, when you make a purchase online, on the internet. Well, you have to trust when you put your credit card details on that website that they're going to be safe, that not everybody is going to be able to see them. Just a simple purchase online. We have to trust these things. Some of you came here on the bus to come to church. Many of you do. Well, when you get on the bus, you have to trust that the bus is actually going where it says it's going. That the driver is not going to veer off on some weird course. He's going to take you, or she is going to take you, straight to the church or wherever it is that you want to go. So just a few examples, we could go on forever. But even the most basic things, we have to exercise trust in our lives. Trust is so important, and this instruction, well, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Why is it better? That's what some people will have to ask. Some people do ask this. Why is it better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man? Trust in God rather than man. Well, the first reason, and I hope this doesn't come across as too superficial or too simple, but it's so obvious. The reason we trust in the Lord, in God, is because He is God. And God is far better than man. That's the first point. I hope you don't mind me putting it in that way. God is eternally and infinitely better than man. God is God. God dwells in eternity. That's what the scriptures teach us. God is not bound by time and space. We are bound by time and space. We cannot see into the future, for example. We can't see even 1 minute into the future, even a few moments into the future. We're bound by the moment that we are living in. God is not bound in that way. But we are very much so. We cannot see into the future. And so man cannot be entirely sure of anything at all. Nothing. We in this church, well, we had the notices earlier. Our brother, Dr. Clement, came and gave the notices. And well, we give our plans for the rest of the week. And we make the announcement. I will be back here preaching this evening. Everybody's invited, of course. But we make that announcement. But we can't be entirely sure. I can't be entirely sure that I'll be back here this evening. Anything could happen. I can't see into the future and know that this will definitely be the case. Of course not. The best I can do is assume. That's the best I can do, assume, hope. And we always say in the notices, God willing. God willing we shall be able. Why do we say that? Because God can see. He knows exactly what will happen in the future. He can be entirely sure. And so this is why Christians trust in God. We know man cannot see even into the next 5 minutes, but God can. And so we trust in Him with everything. God lead me, God guide me. I know that you know everything that will happen. Man, he can't see anything at all. The best he can do is just assume or hope. And so this is the first reason. Excuse me, why we trust in the Lord, because He is God, He is eternal, and He is all powerful. But the second reason, well, we've spoken first of all of God, but we have to speak about man. God is all powerful, God is glorious, but man is not. Man is limited, and we've already mentioned this, but man is limited. Because, as the scriptures say, because of his sin, man is sinful. There is at the present time very little trust in the world nowadays. I'm sure you've noticed this. All the surveys, and in fact I've just finished reading a book on this. Well, everything seems to point that we as a people, as a generation, as society, we're losing trust in one another. We're losing trust in the corporations, in the banks, We're losing trust in the media. We're losing trust in the government. We're losing trust with one another. And this is, well, it's very sad. But why is this? Why are we losing trust with one another? Well, let me put it to you. It's because we know that men are sinful. Why do we lose trust with one another? Well, because we know that people can be insincere, that people can deceive one another, that people can have hidden agendas, that people who even seem to be trustworthy are perhaps not trustworthy. That's why we're losing trust. We're so aware of people's sins. It's not because we think we're all good people. It's because we know that we are inherently sinful. I remember, it doesn't seem to be such a thing nowadays, but a few years ago there used to be a great plague of confidence tricksters, people who would try to get alongside vulnerable people, the elderly perhaps, and try to win their trust. They'd come across as so very nice, but the only reason they would want to win their trust is so they could exploit them, so they could manipulate them, take money out of them, and so forth. And while we know that men are so capable of doing this, in fact, I've known people, they get to a certain age and they tell you, I don't trust anybody. No matter who it is, I don't trust anybody. I used to trust people when I was younger, when I didn't actually realize that all people were sinful, but now I don't. And they'll say that very vehemently and very strongly. And that's because people sooner or later realize that, well, we are all sinners. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible confirms to us. We're all capable of deceiving and lying and stealing. There is none righteous. No, not one. And this is why there's that great decline of trust. But you can trust God. Of course you can trust God. God is holy, the opposite of sin. God is holy. God will not deceive us. God will not lie to us. God cannot do those things. He cannot do these things. If God was to lie to us, and I'm sure I've said this before, or deceive us, he would no longer be God. He would not be God. He would cease to be God, because God is holy. The minute a God sins, he is no longer God. There is no unholy God. There is only a holy God. So you can trust in him entirely. God is holy. He is eternally holy. He has always been holy, always will be. So you can always trust in him. And we know that because of God's holiness, he will deal with sin, the sins of men. There is one day of judgment forthcoming, but we shall mention that again a little later. But isn't it a sad thing that even though, well, we have considered all these things, so many people insist in putting their confidence in men and not in God at all. They insist, even though they know all these things about men, that we can be insincere and deceitful and lying, they insist, no, man. Man can do everything. They reject God entirely. They don't trust in God at all. Mankind, it seems, is full of self-confidence, even despite their flaws. They're full of self-confidence. Mankind, well, we see it increasingly in our society, we don't need God. We're confident we can do everything ourselves. We can solve all our problems, all our social problems, all our political problems, all our moral problems, anything moral. We don't need to look to God. We can just sort it out all by ourselves. Everything can be resolved without God. So many people are confident that God doesn't even exist. You speak to people on the streets, they're confident, oh no, God doesn't exist at all. They haven't really thought about it, but they're still confident in themselves, in what they believe. God doesn't exist. God is a myth. The Bible is fictional. So confident of all these things. But dear friends, that confidence, it's a sin. That is sin. It's rejection of God. It's rebellion against God. And there will be severe consequences. That's what the scripture teaches us. Now, I'm sure you all know about the account of the Titanic. Many of you, well, it's very popular in modern culture, and I know some of you know about it very well. But the Titanic, the largest passenger ship that the world had ever known when it was made, I think it was made in 1909, or construction began in 1909. But it was huge. It was the pride of men. It was a ship of dreams. Everybody said that. And well, we know all about its maiden voyage. One of the crew members apparently said to one of the passengers, "Even God cannot sink this ship." That's what they said. So confident. Oh, man has created something tremendous. Even God can't sink this. So full of confidence, you see. But then what happened? Well, it set sail from Southampton on its way to New York. And on the 14th of April, 1912, well, that great tragic night in the North Atlantic, the Titanic, wouldn't you know, hit an iceberg. Something that God had made. And it floundered and it sank in the cold waters of the North Atlantic. And 1,500 people perished along with the ship. All that confidence, you see, sunk with it. Out of sight. God can't sink this ship. All that pride and confidence entirely gone. Well, dear friends, it's a sad story. It's a sad tale. But you know, it's a great picture of anybody who does not believe in God, who does not want to follow God. Are you like this? You say to yourselves, "Oh, there is no God. I'm all right. I can just live my life. God's not going to do anything to me." And you, well, perhaps you sail your way through life. But then one day is going to come the end. The very end of your life. Suddenly. Death is always sudden. Death is always too soon. Well, then, what is going to happen to all your confidence? You will stand before God. All your confidence will drain away. You'll stand before a holy God with all your rebellion of God in full view, with all your sins in full view. There'll be no reason for you to be proud. Your pride will be replaced with shame. Everlasting shame, the Bible speaks of. All your confidence gone entirely. But dear friends, if we repent, if we turn away from men and trust in God, well then, things will be so much different. If we seek the salvation of the Lord, well then, things will be wonderful. We call upon God. We ask for the forgiveness of all our sin. We ask that we may be saved by the gospel message, Christ dying on the cross. And then things will be very different. We will know that we are forgiven. God himself will save us. You see, we cannot trust in men for the forgiveness of sin. They can't help us at all. This is an eternal question. Settling your eternal destiny. There's no point trusting in men. It's only God who can provide that salvation. Only God who has sent Christ to make atonement for your sin. No man can help you when it comes to those things. You know, some people, they do not want to believe in the gospel. They do not want to trust in the gospel. Maybe I ought to put it that way. They don't want to trust because they think it's too good to be true. Don't some people? Well, they say that if something appears too good to be true, it probably is. And they think the gospel is like that. It's too good to be true. You share the gospel with some people, and they say, what? God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for sinners, such as I am, a sinner who has rebelled against him, who does not love him, does not esteem him. God sent his Son to die on the cross for me, to take my place, so that I may be freely forgiven. Freely forgiven? I don't have to carry out any ceremony. I don't have to do any good deed. All I have to do is put my faith in Christ. Just look to him, and I will be saved. And I will know eternity in heaven, eternal bliss and peace and joy. That's the gospel. That's what you're saying to me. Oh, I don't believe that. That's too good to be true. They don't trust it because they think it's too good to be true. Dear friends, this is the very glory of the gospel. This is how you know that you're saved. You finally understand that God is that good. God is that loving. God is that merciful. It is true. Yes, he has sent his Son to die in your place on the cross so that you may be freely forgiven. That's when you know you're truly saved. I believe it. It's true. And I know he died for me. And I put all my faith in him. And I know I will go to heaven. God is good. God is merciful. These things are so true. That is the wonderful gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, you have to make that plea to God. Make that plea to him if you don't know him. How long do you have left in your life? We've already said you can't even see 5 minutes into the future. Don't say to yourself, oh, I've got years and years and years. That's not true. That you can't be entirely sure of those things. You have to come to Christ as soon as possible. Pray to him. Confess your sin. Put your faith in Christ and trust that he will answer. You can trust that God will answer. People you can't trust in times of help. How many times, and I don't need to speak to people about this, but how many times do we find ourselves in great trouble, in times of great need? We look to men to help us, perhaps even our best friends, and they can't really help us. They're too preoccupied with this or that. But you make your cry to God. He is always willing to help. You can trust him to answer you and save you. These things are so wonderful. I called upon the Lord in distress, we read in verse 5. And the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Well, dear friends, I must draw to a close, but let us remember that day of judgment will most surely come. Christ will come again. Let me remind you, there will be a separation between those who are the Lord's and those who are not the Lord's. There will be many things that will separate us. The children of light will be those who belong to God, and the children of darkness will be those who will be sent away eternally. In other places, we read that those who have been disobedient are like goats. They're separated into two groups. One is the goats, one is the sheep who have hearkened to the voice of their Savior. Another way we could distinguish is the regenerate and the unregenerate. The regenerate are those who trust in God. The unregenerate are those who do not know him. But this presents to us another category. those who will be saved at the very end of time, those who trust in the Lord and did not put their confidence in men, not for the forgiveness of sin, not for salvation of their souls. They trusted in God entirely. May we all, each one, be counted amongst that group. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we do ask that Thou be pleased to bless each and every one. Lord, if there is one, even one here, who has put all his confidence in man, who has put all his confidence in himself, O Lord, we pray that he will see the folly of his ways, and O Lord, turn to Thee and trust in Thee, the God who is over all, the only God with whom we have to do, the God of judgment and the God of salvation. O Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.